Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting edition of True Crime on Easy Street. My name's Kelly Turner. I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Katie, I believe you have an update for us today on a case we talked about
a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So take it away.
Yes. So we did Lacey Fletcher a few weeks back, who, you know, was the poor girl whose parents let her just melt into her couch, for lack of a better phrase. Well, we were waiting on their sentencing when we spoke about her, and they have been sentenced.
On Scott's birthday, they were sentenced.
It was March the 20th.
Mm-hmm. And they received the maximum sentence, which was the 40 years. However, 20 years will be suspended. So they're ordered to serve. They'll serve the 20. And then once they're released, they have to serve 5 years of supervised probation.
And they're in their 60s, right? So they're probably going to die in prison.
20 years. I mean, it could be, I guess, get out when they're
in your
80 something.
Your 80s.
And I guess they could probably get out before the 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean,
did the judge offer any kind of big statement? You know, sometimes at these sentencing things, it's really the judge will come out with something that's just
let him
great.
Have it.
Yeah.
There wasn't, I didn't see any good quotes from the judge, but they did say there was more than 6 hours of testimony from 11 different witnesses.
How are there any witnesses?
I guess they just, like, character witnesses or against character witnesses.
I was going
to
say.
They're not like witnesses to what happened, but just.
Yeah, because nobody, she sat there for what, years?
Mm-hmm.
And.
Was it 12 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what they estimate what it took.
No visitors, nobody saw it.
I'm still confused as to what happened to start all this, because they're saying it was this form of autism were they saying it was?
Yes. And that she refused to get up and they talk about it in the sentencing too. She refused medical attention, and you know, the DA there was several quotes from the DA, and they're like, she didn't have the mental capacity to get to refuse medical attention.
I'm just not buying any of that.
Yeah, you get her medical attention whether she wanted it or not. If she's refusing it, she didn't have the mental capacity to do so. Because it's insane. She got skinny enough that her bones were poking out. Her flesh was filled with maggots. Mm-hmm. You know, she had sores and then feces all over her.
At some point in time, it's not exercising your right to refuse medical care. It's something is terribly wrong, and we need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, what you do for your loved ones.
Yeah, right.
Well, yes. And the judge, there was one quote from the judge that just said, of all the things I can say about this case, the one thing that keeps coming to mind is that Clay and Sheila Fletcher continually chose the path of least resistance when it came to the care of their daughter.
Oh, now that's a good quote.
Okay.
I love these judge quotes at sentencing.
Yeah.
I love to hear them.
Judge Betsy Jones.
All right, Betsy.
Go Betsy.
Honorable Judge Betsy Jones.
And
do you say Honorable Betsy Jones or do you say Honorable Judge Betsy Jones? What do you say?
I think it's Honorable Judge.
Yeah.
Honorable Judge?
I think.
I don't know.
Or the Honorable.
I'm just saying.
I think you can do either.
Are the words interchanged?
Yeah, I think so.
Judge and honorable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Are you?
Is this your honor?
This?
Your honor. I mean, is it also like saying, you know, like we've referred to Clint Allen many times, you know, in our previous like season one, we're talking about he's a doctor. Is it to say honorable judge? Is that as redundant as saying Dr. Clint Allen, PhD?
Yeah.
Or MD.
Right.
MD. He's an MD. Sorry, Clint.
I think it's maybe it's the same thing.
I don't know.
But Sheila and Clay.
We're just killing time now.
Well, I don't think I've gone down a rabbit hole with my own.
We try to avoid those here.
I know. I'm so bad about it.
And yet here we are.
This one detail I can't get past.
I haven't been in court yet, but every time I see any of the judges now, you know, just say judge.
Well, Shane's a judge, so.
He was.
Oh, he's not anymore.
He doesn't. Yeah, he.
Oh, yeah, he was a municipal judge.
Yes.
So was he the honorable J. Shane Givens? Or
I can assure you that he was not.
Was he the honorable judge Shane Givens? I'm
not sure I've ever heard anybody say honorable and Shane Givens in the same sentence before. Another shout down to our benefactor.
There we go.
He doesn't listen.
Do we have any more shout downs while we're on a roll?
No, but I did find out yesterday. I was at Easy Street yesterday afternoon, just as the doors kicked open, and Jake Powell was there. And, you know, he famously was the recipient of our second shout down after Shane Givens. And he told me that he got a chance to listen to that shout down, and he thought it was hilarious. He takes the joke well. So
great.
Yeah.
Great.
But I don't think we want him over as a friend of the show.
No.
That's okay.
So, yeah, it's okay.
You don't have to be our friend.
Yeah, he got a chuckle out of it, so it was good. Do you guys want to hear about what's going on at my house?
Sure.
So about 3 weeks ago, my remote control went missing.
And you live alone.
Yes.
And the length of that pause, is that to drive home the emphasis of how important missing this remote is? Is this a big deal?
If you are me.
Okay.
One of your favorite things to do is watch television.
Okay.
I had that taken away from me.
For how long?
Well, it took me 3 days to get a new remote ordered, so I'm back in the game now.
Scott, how do you... It's literally you, two tiny dogs, and two cats.
I am as perplexed as you are.
Do you not have the ability to have an app remote?
I used my phone for 2 days until my new remote arrived.
Do you think his phone is a sufficient?
If you don't know, Scott has the tiniest iPhone that there is.
Do you remember when they made the first iPhone and it was kind of small?
That's the same size.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Is it the first iPhone?
It's the mini. That's a 12.
A 12
What are
mini.
We up to now? Up to 15?
You literally have a 12 mini.
I have a 12 mini.
Mini.
It's a work phone. I don't pay for the darn thing, so I don't complain.
But I think you had the ability to choose the size, and you chose mini.
I did.
He didn't force that on you. Don't put that on your boss.
No, that's right. Okay. He asked me what I wanted, and I said, just like the one I have. I didn't want to be a problem.
And so.
I used the app on the phone for a couple of days. I think somebody broke into my house.
Why would they just take your remote?
And just took the remote. And that's all they touched.
Only person who would do that is Shane, and he hasn't been that way, I don't think.
You know what? Shane would do that. I wonder.
Do you think
I have turned the couch upside down?
An animal's kicked it underneath something?
I sat down on the couch, turned on the TV with the remote, put it on Netflix or whatever I was watching, dozed off in the couch, in the recliner at the end of the couch. And when I woke up, it was gone. It's not in the chair. It's not in the couch. It's not in any drawer. It's not in any cabinet. I have turned the house upside down. It's still not anywhere.
Is it in the pocket of the pants you were wearing?
I've worn the pants again since then. I've only got one good pair of pants. I wear them every day. I'm wearing them right now.
Is there a remote in your pocket?
You know, I haven't checked and I'm afraid to. Anyway, I will keep you posted. If the damn thing ever turns up, mystery solved. But as yet, I don't know.
You know, you see those videos of cats getting on tables and they're just knocking stuff off and they're like...
It's definitely the cat.
You know?
I don't know.
Getting up there and just knocking it off.
And it's an average size remote, but it's a Fire TV remote.
And so they're kind of small and narrow.
Yeah,
though.
But it's got... I bought one of those little rubber cases, you know, to protect it in case I drop it, and it's bright blue.
He has a remote case. Mm-hmm. This is how important this remote is.
It's vital. At my house, that I'd be able to watch what I want.
You need to get it like Velcro backing so you can like stick it.
Velcro it to the table.
There's a magnet. There's enough metal inside that you can buy a little magnet that hangs on the wall and you put your remote and it attaches to this magnet that hangs on the wall.
Does it feel strong enough to me?
So, but that's where every night when I go to bed now, my new remote, which I like better anyway, it's got more buttons on it. But now my new remote goes on the wall every freaking
Don't
night.
You think a cat could still get up there?
Not there. I've got it away from, okay. No.
Because we know your little dogs are not jumping up.
No.
And they don't, I don't really see Tilly or Buford stealing a remote.
No,
or
Tilly's mouth isn't big enough to move it, and Buford doesn't care.
No, he's lived with it long enough. Right. He doesn't even.
So, anyway.
I'll keep you posted. You posted something on Facebook that was... all of your animals with the two cats on the couch. And then you had Tilly who was looking at you.
Yeah. That was Friday night. The caption was Friday night at my house.
Yeah. And Buford, he was done with you.
He won't look at, he shies away from the camera.
Looked at you and then he looked away and literally had his nose up in the air and you're yelling at him, and he's
I mean, isn't he half blind? Cared.
He is. Yeah, he's blind in one eye. He's 13 and a half, so he's he walks in circles the side that he can see.
Yeah.
Bless kinda. His heart. Yeah. He's like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't care. I'll that was kind of his whole vibe.
Sometimes I'll throw a treat onto the floor, and if it doesn't land right in front of him, he doesn't see it. He just keeps
Does
walking.
Does Tilly just get it?
Yes.
At that point.
That's
she's
correct.
Like, ooh, score. Mm-hmm. How old's Tilly?
She's 6.
Okay. So she's, yeah. I thought she was younger than that.
Yeah. Well, she'll be 6.
I was thinking.
I'll have to 18. Well, she will be 6 this year.
Okay.
In October.
Our dog, Carly, is 13 and a half yeah. as well.
Okay.
She will be, her birthday is in July, and she will be 14. Mm-hmm. She is the same age as Nate. Nate. Well,
oh, yeah,
Nate's
we've talked
14.
About that before. Yeah, right. He's 14. He's always had.
They're litter mates.
Yeah. Always had that dog in his life. That's.
Your dog turns in circles because he can only see in one eye. Mine just does it. Like, he literally just, like, when he's getting out of his crate, he starts spinning. When he has to, when he's going outside, he starts spinning.
He's excited. What's his name?
Percy.
Percy. Yeah.
He just has, I'm not certain that he's all there.
Ah.
We always, Percy. We call it, we lovingly call him our rescue, even though we, you know, we did pay for him. You know, we
Percy
did not
is
rescue.
A pug, yes. a black yeah. pug, right?
And, yes, and he just spins in circles all the time.
Tilly does that when I feed her. Like when she knows I'm about to put the plate of food down on the floor, she'll do like 3 really
it's
fast.
It's excitement. Yeah. He's excited. And then you have Pepper.
Yes, Pepper is the oldest, and she does not spin in circles. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
Like
she's like, just give me the food.
Yes.
I don't care.
Yes. She
is
I'm not gonna
girl.
Do a dance for you. Just put it in front yeah. of me.
How's the cat?
He's good. He doesn't spin either.
Ernie,
yes.
So Ernie is Katie and Shane's Hemingway cat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what does that mean, Scott? When you are a Hemingway cat.
That means you have 6 toes.
Is it on all your feet?
I think it's on all.
He's got them on all. Yeah. He's got all the toes.
So he has
supposedly
6.
He's got he's 7 got, on one foot.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Probably should have done something about that. There's too many toes, but
that's
he seems
just,
fine.
That's freaky. Is it freaky looking?
Yes. Yeah. When we first got him, I was a little scared of him. Like he creeped me out. But the longer we've had him, it's been all right.
Take those extra toes and get out of my way. Yes. Gross.
Yeah, it really did. Like I didn't want much to do with him, but now he's all right now.
He grows on you.
Yeah.
He's cute. And Ernie, he's probably a lot bigger now than the last time I saw him. It's been months since I've been to your house.
He's big now, yeah. And he likes to go outside. We tried to keep him solely as an inside cat, but he was having none of that.
Yeah.
You don't have a big cat. Have you ever seen Travis and Stephanie's
no,
cats?
No, in comparison,
Buddy,
no, I do not have a big cat. He's
Buddy
just grown
Buddy.
Now.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Buddy is large.
Like overweight
large
or just
dude.
A large cat?
Well, he's a large cat anyway, but uh-huh. you know, Buddy's kind of like me. He likes to eat. So.
Okay.
Buddy's so, big and big.
Yeah. And is he an inside cat?
He is. Yeah. He goes in and out.
Right.
But he's mostly inside cat.
Yeah, I know.
And he is a large dude.
Yes.
He's a beautiful cat. Beautiful cat.
I've been to their house, but it's been a while.
Shorty, send us a picture of Buddy, please, so we can post it for everybody to see.
I think 4th of July will be 2 years because it was right after they had moved there, and I think we got on the pontoon boat and maybe
okay,
saw
yeah,
some
they
fireworks.
They have a great place on the lake.
Yeah.
They do.
But Scott's not going to tell everybody where. Don't go into
oh, yeah,
detail, Scott.
No, no, no.
We don't want to.
No, if you take County Road 31.
Nope, okay. There's no such
even,
thing.
I just made that up. I don't know. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
Scott's worried about people breaking in his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you find a remote with a blue rubber case, it's mine. Mm-hmm. Please return it.
You're going to find it one day in some
I know,
random,
that's what kills me.
Please return
random
it.
Spot.
It may be 2 years from now. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to have it in my hand when I find it.
I think we'll hear from you next week that you've
It's been
found
3 weeks.
It.
I've stopped looking. If I find it now, it's going to be completely by accident.
Do you sleepwalk?
No.
Did you have on layers? So something that
I had a blanket on.
A little
it was,
bit more
it was
winterized that might be put up and it's up in
the
there.
The blanket's still there. It's the one that the dogs lay on.
But you don't have on like a sweater or a hoodie or anything that would have pockets.
I've thought mm-hmm. of how, when, what, where. And I knew as soon as I woke up, I was like, hey, the remote's right here. Wait, no, it's not. Wait, what? And it was gone. Mm. Anyway.
That is strange.
Yeah.
That is truly a crime. At my house.
I think that you're missing something.
Obviously. missing a remote.
The problem is that there's no woman to come in your house and find it, because I tell you who can't find anything at my house is anyone but me. They'll be like, I can't find this. And I'm like, will you look one more time? And they're like, I can't find it. And I just walk right to it. I stand up and walk right to it.
Yep, grab it.
Please come to my house and find my remote. Yep.
We're gonna take a field trip, Katie. And we're gonna find this remote.
I'd probably walk right in. It's probably in the kitchen. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is.
If it is, I can't find it.
Is it in the fridge?
Two steps.
I checked the fridge. I checked the freezer. I checked every cabinet in the kitchen.
You know what? And it's so funny, because when you lose something, you get to that point to where you start looking in places that you know it's not.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're looking in, like you said, the freezer, the fridge.
I looked in the dryer.
Down in the toaster. Yeah. You just, you know.
I checked the dryer.
It's almost like you get to frantic, or you get to losing it, and you're just like, where is it?
Yeah. Oh, I hate not knowing where something is. I have a black
tank top
that I'm missing. I cleaned out my whole closet the other day.
Just try to find that one shirt.
Mm-hmm. And I can't find it. And I've asked Ellison if she's got it. She says she doesn't. I'm going to have to go search in her room next. Because I know that black tank top is in my house somewhere.
Yeah.
I did that with a shoe, and I never found the shoe. Lost one. One shoe.
See, that would... I would still be looking for that shoe. That would drive me nuts.
The only thing I can think of is it got put into a bag that was taken to a donation. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking, who is this idiot who donated one shoe?
What
a jerk. Yeah. So I apologize. The shoe was not supposed to go in there but I even kept the other shoe because I thought
one of these
it's going to turn up, and 2 years went by. 2 years, no shoe.
Yes, that would I would put me into hysteria.
Mm-hmm. And so I finally tossed the shoe away and let it go.
Yeah.
But it took me 2 years.
And the other shoe did not miraculously turn up when you threw the other one away?
Never. So it had to have gone into to the donation bag. So I am deeply sorry. Yeah. For those of you who went through that bag and there was the one shoe.
I am deeply sorry that I brought this up now.
You can tell when Scott's tired of the conversation. He has tails. If you ever play cards with Scott,
I'm terrible.
He probably has a dozen tails. Oh, yeah. But the foot shakes side to side. Yep. And he fidgets in his chair.
Yeah.
And it makes me just want to drag out the rabbit hole even more, because he's incredibly uncomfortable right now.
It's not even his turn to talk. Like,
no, it's not.
I'm relaxed today. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Barely any idea what we're going to talk about.
I don't even know, because I know that I've been told, but I have forgotten.
Yeah.
And so I am completely the dummy.
Katie is in the big chair today.
You have been warned.
Yeah.
I'm just
it's probably nuts.
I don't know. Katie, is it?
It's not as nuts.
Should we warn everybody?
No, it's not as nuts today, but it's going to make you think. It's at the end. You've got to decide how you feel about this.
Okay.
Okay. And does anybody want to take a bet that Scott and I are on opposing sides?
Mm.
This will be interesting.
Are we wagering it now?
If I'm...
We have found the drinking game with this podcast right here.
I like it. Let's make it a drinking game.
I feel like we've said that before. Different drinking games on this podcast. You can. There's many.
There are
some. I've been trying to find, you know, I guess there are some.
We could create a scorecard and post it on Instagram.
Could play a true crime on Easy Street bingo card.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do that.
All right, so Katie, I guess there's no better way. Just start.
Yeah,
because I'm nervous. I'm starting to sweat. Katie's in the big chair. Yeah. It makes me makes me nervous. So just here we go.
Irk us out.
Well, this week we're going to talk about Cindy White. Cindy White was born Sarah Isabel White in June of 1957. I'm not sure where Cindy came from. I tried to find it, but she goes by Cindy.
Okay.
And she is Indiana's longest serving female prison inmate. She was one of six children in her family. She said that she just longed to be close to her father. That was what she wanted out of life, for her dad to love her best. And he did pay her extra special attention. And starting at just 8 years old, her father started to sexually abuse her.
Oh, no.
And he told her to keep it a secret, because that's what daddy's girls do.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
What a monster.
That didn't take long.
No. At some point, she does tell her mother about the abuse. Her mother is a raging alcoholic, and she tells her, well, just make sure that you're not alone with him.
But that's the mother's solution?
That's her solution. Just make sure that y'all aren't alone together. And she does absolutely nothing else to stop it.
I just feel like I'm a different person than this woman.
Yeah.
So this is in the 60s, right? You said mm-hmm. she was born in 1957.
Mm-hmm. So this okay. is in the 60s, yes. Okay. The abuse does finally stop in 1971.
How long was that? How many years?
15. Nope.
Because her father passes away.
Good. Rot in hell. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, yeah. but rot in hell.
She struggled with her mental health after the death of her father and the years of sexual abuse, you know.
Yes.
So in early 1975, she was struggling to move one of her legs. And so the doctors determined that there was nothing physically wrong with her leg, or either leg. And so they sent her to a mental hospital where she would stay for the next 10 months related to a diagnosis of involuntary paralysis. So she's like...
That's a new one.
Mentally paralyzed, kind of.
Involuntary paralysis. Mm-hmm. Isn't that all paralysis?
That's what I would...
Yeah. This would be voluntary paralysis, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Involuntary
paralysis.
Somebody smarter than us came up with that. All right. And I don't understand.
So during that stint in the mental hospital, her mother is going to die of a stroke. Hmm. So after she's released from the 10-month stay, she moves in with some acquaintances, kind of. Their names are Charles and Carol Robertson. And she works as kind of like a live-in babysitter. And she's 18 at the time. So I can't make the math work because I found that she was born in 57. This is 75.
It's 18.
Okay, 18?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Katie's not good at math.
Nope.
Her words, not mine.
No, I'm not. So maybe there was the 71 was throwing me too. I don't know. But we're in 1975.
Okay, but let me just... She's 18. So she's... How old was she when she went into the hospital?
She'd been 17 or 18 because she was there 10 months.
Okay. For whatever paralysis it was, did everything just start working? With the legs started working again?
Yep. And because there was, this is why I'm getting confused on the math, because there's some reports that said she was 16 when all this took place, but she was 18.
Yeah.
When she went into the hospital.
When she came out of the hospital.
When she came out of the hospital. I know, she was 18. 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And these individuals.
She's living with Charles and Carol Robertson.
And she's acting as a live-in babysitter.
Yeah, like nanny situation, because they have four children.
Four children.
Young children.
Okay, all right.
So on December 31st of 1975, neighbors are going to alert the fire department that a home located at 24 Sayre Drive in Greenwood, Indiana, is up in massive flames.
Okay. Mm.
This is going to be the Robertson's home.
Oh.
This fire is massive. Cindy is seen coming from the rear of the home. She's hysterical. She's screaming. And she's having to be restrained from re-entering the burning home because she's trying to go back in the house.
Okay. All right.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by A&W Outdoor Services, located right here in Cherokee County, Alabama. It's almost time to tidy up the deck, clean the gutters, and spruce up the yard and landscaping around your home, lake house, or creekside cabin. And who better to do that for you than the professional crew at A&W Outdoor Services? Call 256-706-7964 and let Alan and his crew do all the hard work for you so you can spend your time this summer enjoying your piece of Cherokee County in clean, carefree comfort. Call Alan today for a free estimate or to get on the A&W spring schedule before it's full. That's A&W Outdoor Services at 256-706-7964.
Hey guys, do you know what time it is?
Tell us.
It's time to plan your best vacation ever right here in beautiful Cherokee County, Alabama.
Many outdoor adventures await. You can wet a hook in beautiful Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, climb to the best view around at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the Little River Canyon National Preserve, take a day's long splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of recommended lodging facilities, RV sites, and campgrounds, and they're all set up to suit your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come see us from wherever you are located. And if you already live right here in Cherokee County, then plan your summer staycation with the Chamber by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
She says that she had went to the Robertson's bedroom, the parents' bedroom, to tell them that the house is on fire. And then she tried to help Carol get the children out of a bedroom window. And then she says she loses consciousness at this time after she gets out the window the first time. And the next thing she remembered was waking up on the ground outside of the burning home.
Okay, so maybe inhaled some flames or something in it.
Pretty traumatic experience.
Yeah. Passed out a little bit and then woke back up.
And she wakes back up and then she's hysterical
trying to go in and save people. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Charles and Carol and their four children, Michael, age 7, Dale, age 6, Gary, age 5, and Sissy, age 4, are all going to die in this fire.
Mm. So none of them were passed out of the window to her?
None of them made it out the window.
Okay.
The coroner testified that each of them died from carbon monoxide and smoke inhalation.
Okay. Consistent with a house fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After an extensive investigation into the cause of the fire, it's determined that the house had been deliberately set on fire. There had to have been an accelerant because, I mean, the heat coming off the home and the fire, it was so quick and so hot. The arson investigators made it clear that the fire in no way was accidental. Like, it was 1,000% intentionally set.
So I'm thinking, like, your charcoal grill, when you squirt the accelerant, and it's...
Yeah.
You know.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially, because like I said, it's December 31st, so people are thinking Christmas tree fire.
Or I was thinking, like, New Year's, the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Christmas tree was a flame-proof type Christmas tree.
So it's not a real tree.
Right.
Gotcha.
Tests later done demonstrated that the tree would have melted before it would have ignited.
Okay.
So the wiring, the appliances, the gas lines, and the furnace were all checked.
And all of those were good.
They're all good. They were actually all damaged by the fire itself.
So they didn't cause the fire.
They were damaged by the fire.
Okay.
Cindy's pajamas that she had on that night were shown to be of a highly flammable material. I'm not sure exactly what they were made out of, but they were highly flammable. But the pajamas were not burned at all.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing on there. Okay. So is she saying she just woke up and smelled smoke?
Yep. She woke up. She was asleep on the couch. It's where she slept.
Smells smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Goes and tries to get the parents. She goes out the window, blacks out.
And she doesn't recall what
comes back to, and then tries to run back in the house. And people literally report having to stop her from running back into the home.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Experts are going to testify that the occupants of the home had probably died within a few minutes of the initial flames. When the fire from the time the fire starts to the time that they're perishing is
it doesn't
minutes.
Take long with so that carbon means, monoxide.
Well, does that mean that the fire started where they were instead of in the other likely places you would think a fire, like the Christmas tree or the kitchen or one of the appliances? So the fire started in a bedroom.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure where the fire, where the house goes up so quickly. Okay.
The accelerant.
So when you think of that, you think, oh, there's a gas line
maybe
that's leaking and you know.
Poof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and Cindy is gonna say later that the smoke is so thick that that's where she kind of loses touch with the family. Like she thinks that they're behind her, but the smoke is so thick she really can't see.
Okay.
The family behind her and she's going to exit through that window. So
in the bedroom of the parents.
It's in a rear bedroom. I think it's one of the children's rooms. Maybe it's not the parents' bedroom.
Okay.
It's a rear bedroom. Cause she goes in the parents' room and then she leaves the parents' bedroom to get the children.
Goes to their room, is what she says. Out the window. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Later on, it's going to be revealed that earlier on December 31st, Cindy is going to make a phone call to her sister-in-law. She's asking her sister-in-law about a fire that had occurred a couple of days earlier at her grandmother's house. And she was most interested in how the fire started and whether her siblings, who were living with her grandmother, had received new clothes as a result of the fire. It was less than 4 hours after she made this phone call about the fire in her grandmother's house that the Robertson house is going to go up in flames.
It's not an odd
coincidence.
Mm-hmm. inconsistencies in Cindy's recollection of the fire are demonstrated throughout the time from the fire to we're going to have a court case here in a little bit. And of course, she's got this history of emotional disturbance, especially since the death of her father and, you know, the time she literally spent in a mental hospital. Mm-hmm. This is all going to come up. So Cindy is going to be arrested for arson and then felony murder because these deaths occurred during the commission of a felony.
Okay.
That's what felony murder is.
Okay. Got it.
So in order to prove this felony murder, you have to prove all the elements of arson, and arson is proved outright in
this.
So
the evidence is showing arson.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we've got the only suspect in this now is Cindy.
The only survivor of the, who doesn't have any burns.
Yeah. She has some slight burns, but her pajamas are not on fire.
Her pajamas are
not. And they were highly flammable. So thinking maybe she might have got burned literally like trying to re-enter, like from that re-entering of the house.
Okay.
So we're in Cindy's trial now, where the rest of this information is going to come from. There's evidence introduced in the trial of nude and pornographic photographs of Cindy that are found in Charles Robertson's billfold, like in his wallet. There's also love letters written by Cindy to Charles Robertson.
Where are those found?
They must have been in the house. So I guess part of the home is salvageable because they're finding this evidence in the home.
But he has nude photos in his wallet.
Of her.
Of her.
Mm-hmm. And this is not really explained at trial. This is kind of skimmed over, I guess. It's offered as evidence of evidence. Motive by Cindy. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but...
The nature of these photos, and I know you said they were breezed over, but is it clear that she posed for them?
Or yes.
Or is mm-hmm. it...
It's like photos, like...
It's not like she was unaware someone was taking her photo.
Right. Now, whether she posed for them willingly or not, I don't, you know.
Sure.
But they're not like she's asleep or
she's in the tub or in the shower, mm-hmm, doesn't know someone's there or something. I don't know.
Okay. Right. Yeah, right.
So she's going to be convicted of arson and 6 counts of felony murder. She is sentenced to the Indiana Women's Prison for not less than 5 nor more than 20 years on the arson conviction, but she's sentenced for life for all 6 of those murder convictions. So she's got 6 life sentences.
Okay.
We're going to fast forward 10 years later, and we're in the 80s now, and she's going to admit to setting that fire.
She does.
She's going to deny it all through trial. She's going to deny it for 10 years after trial.
Okay. What's the motivation for changing her mind? Do we know that?
She just insists that she never intended for anyone to die.
Okay.
So and 10 years has gone by now, she can talk about it.
And she says that she was embarrassed and ashamed of the truth originally. So she's going to come out and want to tell her truth.
All right.
Okay.
What is that?
She said that she hoped the fire would provide her an opportunity to escape the couple she claims sexually abused her.
Okay.
She says after years of being told to be quiet about the sexual abuse inflicted upon her by her father, mm-hmm, she just thought silence was the way to go, and she found it as honestly a natural response to the abuse.
It's all you know.
Mm-hmm. But she's not required to live with them, is she?
Right.
I mean, she wasn't released from the hospital with this caveat. No. You've got to, or yeah, this condition.
I see what you're saying.
You've got to live with them. So, but
she's an adult. She's 18 years old. She can do whatever she wants.
I also understand. Right? Yeah. I also understand, though, not having anywhere else to go. Mm-hmm.
Well.
But I don't.
I've got a little explanation for that.
Okay. All right.
She's going to claim that she tried to leave
that
winter, earlier that winter, but that Charles locked her in a bedroom and soon returned with a kitten and ripped off the kitten's head, saying that she would face the same fate if she did not obey him.
Good gracious. Was he?
That's her claims.
Do we have anybody who can attest to Charles's nature?
No.
I mean, well, he's got pornographic
photos
of her in his wallet. So there is that. But
yeah, because she's gonna dive into that a little bit. She says she explains the love letters that the police found. She says that when she first moved in with the couple, that Charles started paying her special attention and he was interested in her. And he even began like flirting with her pretty soon after she moved in. And she liked this attention originally. Okay. And she's quoted as saying it made her giddy.
Okay.
Which he is now her father figure. And she always wanted that attention from her father.
Right.
And she got that attention from her father until it turned.
Definite issues there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just, yeah. We could go on and on about
you
that.
You don't have to have a psychology degree to see that.
No. So she's got, daddy issues. And then she finds this older man who is interested in her. And she likes the attention. But that interest soon evolved into really disturbing behavior, according to her. Including forcing her to watch porn, engaging in sex acts in front of other men. So he'd have like these men over and make her do things in front of them.
I mean, okay, can I just, who are these men? I mean, like, Scott, how many times you've been to a group of you and your friends, you're playing cards, you're watching the race, you whatever. Y'all don't do things like that.
No comment.
It's like, let me pull out the babysitter and make her do this for all.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who are these people?
Normal people.
If you go over to someone's home with saying, we're going to go watch the game, and you get over there and this kind of crap happens, you're going, this is, what the hell?
Yeah. Right.
This is not what
I signed up for.
Yeah, I'm out, guys. Mm-hmm. This is, who are these people?
Well, because the first thought is, where's the wife in this? Like, does she know about it? What's going on? And Cindy says that she was aware of the activity and she actually participated sometimes. That the first time she walked in on things happening, she thought, oh, what's going to happen? What's she going to do? And she just said, what have I missed?
Oh, good Lord.
Hmm. So maybe.
So now there's a woman. Who's this woman? But I also understand that we are only hearing Cindy's side.
This is Cindy's side, yes.
Now, we do have the photos in his wallet, which makes him...
And the love letters.
...a creep and makes... But the love letters are from Cindy.
Are from her to him. To him.
He's kept them. Okay, so that makes him a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
And that... But she's an adult. Yes. So, that doesn't make him a great person. But... Is he the kind of person that would do these other things she's saying and rip off a kitten's head and have all of these weird sex parties? And, we don't know that.
We don't.
Is there any evidence for any of that?
None that I found.
And we're only hearing this. This is 10 years later.
10 years later.
Any evidence would probably be gone.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. So.
And she's got a lawyer named Charles Asher, and he's been fighting since the 90s. To get her released from jail, arguing that her sentence was entirely disproportionate given the circumstances.
Okay.
She has, because they go through that evidence was, and I'm going to give some bullet points at the end on everything that was kind of skirted over in this trial.
Okay.
But she's since highlighted, talking about her life, she's never had a normal life. She's never been on a date, never opened a bank account, or had a chance, to become a mother. She's added that, she's since become like a mother figure in prison because she's been there longer than anyone.
Yeah.
She's seen all these younger inmates come in and then, leave and come in and leave or stay, some of them, I guess. But she's almost like a mother in prison. She's clerked in the property room, the commissary, the med management. She's been quoted as being a good seamstress, so she's learned how to sew in prison.
She has no possibility for parole.
She has exhausted all of her appeals and everything. The only way she could get out now is if she was granted clemency.
And she's been there for what, 50 years?
Since 76.
So 48 years.
You're the math.
48 years.
And we don't see any reason is she a danger to?
See, that's the argument. So she's been described as a peaceful person.
But it's easy to be peaceful in jail and then not be when you get out of jail.
Well, she's now had two strokes and spends much of her time in a wheelchair. She's been, you know, it says that she's experienced amazing personal growth in prison. She says, I'm, you know, gosh, she's, this is a sad quote. She was quoted as saying, I'm looking forward to growing old in here because, you know, I'm going to know that my life is not going to be much longer.
Oh.
And there's something always positive on the other side.
Oh, but I mean, if she set fire and killed six people,
yeah. That's the argument. Yeah.
If she's down to clemency, that means the governor, and no governor wants to be the governor who lets a person who killed six people walk because he's got to run for re-election.
I was about to say, if you're looking for re-election, but okay, so
there's a whole project called the Defense Map Project that is out there in support of her release. Like it has been developed to try to get her out of prison. And they've mapped out a few facts that capture some of the essence of their argument. Like 10 years, she suffered 10 years of predatory sexual and physical abuse, first by a family member, second by, you know, the couple that she claimed as family, worked for as family. You know, they go back and talk about her mother's complete failure to protect her from her father.
Yep. And her father just being a monster.
Apparently she had two suicide attempts before she
as a young adult.
Mm-hmm, okay. Before she was sentenced to prison. She, you know, had that 10 months in psychiatric hospital and she was deemed competent to stand trial. So there was never, they did a psych eval on her and they deemed she was competent to stand trial. The psychiatric, you know, physicians, nurses, when she was in the psych ward, they never realized that she'd been sexually abused. Like that didn't come
How
up in any
possible?
Of her treatment. That's what the defense
seems like
map
she
project.
Would have mentioned that.
Well, I mean, yeah. Did she just not say anything?
It doesn't seem that she did. Because that's what the defense map project, they state that it was in none of her medical records that she'd been sexually abused.
But I mean, if she didn't tell them that,
then they
wouldn't know. Right. But it seems like,
her
father was dead by that point. So
it says that they failed to ever inquire about the possibility of being sexually abused.
That is in every standard mental health assessment.
Well, it is now, but maybe it wasn't in the 60s.
Maybe it wasn't. I'll do some research this week and see. I have a very hard time believing that in the field of psychology, they did not ask this question.
Yeah, it says none of the physicians or nurses ever.
I mean, everything that Freud did was in relation to sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're trying to explain a mental condition,
yeah,
the father of psychotherapy,
that you would, yeah, right.
You know, mm-hmm. This would have been back probably before they completely disproved all of Freud's stuff.
Yeah, right. Eventually, they threw out
almost all of his stuff. But he is the father of psychotherapy, yeah. The whole one-on-one,
right.
Come into the office and talk and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I find it very difficult to believe that was not on some kind of questionnaire.
Yeah.
Kelly is pissed.
I haven't, you know, verified their...
I'm baffled.
I didn't have access to what they've seen, I guess, but that's their claim. And also that the defense counsel and any of the legal process, all that failed to account for the nude photographs of her kept by Charles in his family photo album in his personal wallet. You know how people would keep photos in their wallet.
Where like you open up like you're showing your family off. Yeah,
there's literally a naked picture of her in that.
Great.
And no one could explain it. And no one dove into it in the trial. It just kind of was like, yeah, this was there. We did find this, but she killed six people, so.
Yeah, that's the headline.
And I guess you do have to ask yourself that. You know, you're on, would you call that, I know it qualifies as a serial killer, but does it qualify as like a mass murder?
That's a different definition,
six
right?
people. But yeah, I mean, no. All at one time is different, I guess. Yeah. That's not a mass murder.
Well, you're not a serial killer unless you are, you know, you're one of those narcissistic.
I think it just has to do, it doesn't have to do with like the number of people you kill.
Doesn't Multiple have to do people? With your motivation for committing the crime.
Maybe.
I mean, this is a crime of passion in a sense, right?
The serial killer is not a legal term.
But her questions to her sister-in-law had to do about new clothing and.
Yes, that said, you know, did y'all receive new clothes after the fire?
Which sounds so much like an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's showing her age there.
Yeah.
If
I set this fire and get out.
Personal belongings, you know. Yeah.
Am I going to get new clothes?
Mm-hmm. But she says that she did it because of the abuse.
That she was trying to get away. She was going to, in the chaos of the fire, she'd planned to escape.
And did she comment on trying to go back into the home?
Well, I saw her trying to do that. I believe, because she, I think her goal, either way, it seems the goal was to get the family out. Because she, if she was trying to go back in the home, obviously, why else would she be trying to go back?
She was trying to save someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even if it was just the children,
mm-hmm.
originally, you know, if let's say she did mean to kill the parents,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe she meant to kill the children.
Mm-hmm.
But she claims she didn't mean to kill anyone, that her goal was not to kill anyone.
So instead of just running away mm-hmm. in the night.
Mm-hmm. Which, and what she's charged with is, it's not that she intended to kill people. It's that people were murdered during the commission of another felony, which was the arson.
Arson, mm-hmm. yeah.
So they didn't have to prove that she intended to kill these people.
No, that was a moot point at mm-hmm. that point. Yep. It was, did you set the fire?
Yep.
And as a result, six people are now dead.
Yes, and so that's felony. That's what felony murder is.
So
for all you people out there who are thinking of committing felonies, you know, people die in the commission of them, you are a murderer.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. All day, every day.
Yeah, sure.
So I just don't understand why. Because if she's sleeping on a couch,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem too much like a hostage situation. You're on the couch, everybody's in their own bedroom asleep.
Like you could get out.
I mean, there are different ways to be held hostage by someone, and I get that. Yeah. But just to run away, I don't know. And then you're 18, where do you go? I don't know.
Limited financial options.
I don't know.
Probably no skills. Probably no.
There's no.
Probably no high school diploma.
No, there's no way she has any kind of skills or any. So
she's trapped. Whether there are
other
bars on the windows,
yeah.
or not, she's trapped in that situation.
Yeah,
I think.
Her only skill is repression.
Yeah.
At that point,
I mean, so that's the question. If I came on here and said, we've got a woman, she set a fire, it killed six people, do you think she should be in prison for life?
I would say yes.
Yep.
But then you get into the, you know.
Because and it's complicated.
You start peeling back layers and it gets, there's.
Do we believe after 46 years that she's rehabilitated? Is that what we claim our prison system is for?
That's what we claim it's for. But we all know, I mean, the horrible state of the prison system in Alabama lets you know that's not really there. There's no benefit to the people who are in charge of the prisons and the lawmakers who make the laws and the police officers and the mayors and there's no benefit to them and a lot of risk on letting anybody out of prison once they're in, because if they do something, if they become a repeat offender, then it's your fault.
Yeah, it's tough.
So you cram everybody into prison and you throw away the key. I mean, that's what's happening here in Alabama. People, there's this whole story in the papers now about the parole board system in Alabama and how broken it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be the person who makes that mistake, because we've all seen it played out in politics for as long as I can remember. If you're the guy who lets somebody out and they do something bad again, mm-hmm. that hurts you. It hurts you politically.
Yeah.
So it's a mess.
Because
the more you peel back, the more complicated this story gets.
Yeah, because you have to ask, do we think she's a danger to society? And I would have to think, no.
Absolutely not. In a wheelchair, two strokes.
Mm-hmm. And see, here's the thing. I mean, if she had been a rapist, Yeah. Oh, she'd be out.
Sure.
Not in Alabama, though. We have some of the strictest laws on that. That is one thing we do get right. Okay. But, you know.
And she's got a sister, and her sister has children, and they want her home. Like, her sister wants to take her in. And
so she has someone who says, she can come live with us. Yes. I don't think this is a hard call.
I don't either.
But... Mm.
And her nieces and nephews have never seen her outside of prison. She's been in prison their whole lives. Mm-hmm.
But you've already said that she's down to one option, and that's clemency. And that's I'm going to make a guess that's not going
to
happen.
But then we also have to talk about, like, let's go over to California and talk about the Golden State Killer. Mm-hmm. He's not physically able to hurt anybody.
Yeah,
but I don't want him out.
True.
And he's in a wheelchair. He's, you know, I mean, his backstory is not the same. I understand that.
Yeah. But you do have to kind of, I guess, take into account that we don't know if she's, everything she says is the truth.
Oh, definitely. We have to take that. We just don't have anything to back it up other than we have the pictures and the letters she wrote.
Right.
They're not letters. And if you're saying that they're love letters that she wrote to him, that further damages her case of saying, I was trapped.
Yeah.
I couldn't get away.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you then
there is a good case. Yeah. There is a good point to be made that she probably was in love with him.
Yeah.
In a weird way, you know?
Yeah, probably. Or it's, what a sad, sad life. What a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, six people did die as a result of something that she did. And
four little children.
Yeah. Who didn't.
You got to be held accountable.
The law is the law.
Yeah.
That's true.
We believe that her sentence is retribution for those lives she took. I mean, that's what I think you have to
six
bullet down.
Yeah.
Bullet down to is we're on the retribution side, not the rehabilitation side.
Right. Yeah.
Is it justice for those children if she gets out of jail?
Exactly.
That's the question I'm going to have to ask myself.
I think she has to stay.
I think
she has to stay.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think it is too.
It actually wouldn't bother me if they released her to live with her sister because of her state, the condition, and the years she's already served.
Yeah.
But I totally understand them not doing it. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about, I don't give a crap about the politician. I'm talking about what is justice for, you know, we started this podcast because we're interested in true crime, but we also can be voices for victims who no longer have a voice.
Yeah.
So
a 4, a 5, a 6 and a 7-year-old children.
Yeah. So that's,
I mean,
she has to stay.
Michael, Dale, Gary, and Sissy had, you know.
They don't. Yeah. At the end of the day,
they never got to lead.
It's not justice if she is set free. Mm. I think that's.
And you can talk about deterring other crimes because you got to think, like, people set fires all the time and maybe think, spend the rest of my life in prison for, you know.
Yeah.
When arson can turn into murder that quickly because. She, whatever accelerant she used, I mean, it put this house up quick.
Right. What did she say what she used?
The article I read said an accelerant such as gasoline, but it didn't say it was gasoline. It just said such as gasoline.
So, I mean, if they had...
So, some kind of fuel, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been kerosene, might have been, kerosene and gasoline react differently, but...
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, everybody's probably got a thing of gasoline in their... In there, you know, if you have a lawnmower, you've got a thing of gasoline in your garage, or if you know, back in the day, had kerosene heaters,
Or
kerosene lamps and things, so you had those. Mm-hmm. That's really old school, isn't it? Kerosene heater and lamps, but I mean, you had those, and you might have used outside, or
did you have indoor plumbing at the time?
How far
back are we going here?
But so, you know, I'm sure it was there. She didn't have to go acquire
No, I don't believe she's going to the store for anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I wish it was more definitive about how this thing went down, because I want to know, if what about those the other men who supposedly she was paraded in front of? Mm-hmm. Did any of them testify?
No.
Was there a gas station attendant that saw her buy 2 gallons of gas 30 minutes before the fire? I wish that I knew. And it doesn't really matter, because like Katie said, the end result is that she set a fire that killed people, and that makes her a murderer in the eyes of the law in the state of Indiana and anywhere else.
Yes.
And so you do the crime. You do the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess sometimes I don't understand some sentences, and then it just seems, and of course that's up to the judge. It's up to the states. Those vary.
Yeah.
Because they do take into account, or what her advocates take into account, is the fact that she was 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's made her the longest serving female inmate, because she was so young when she committed the crime.
She's an adult.
But 18, of the law. Like,
mm-hmm. And I don't think it would matter if she was 15. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute.
How old was Judith Ann Neely?
18, 19. Mm. Yeah.
Hers is sort of totally different, though.
Yeah.
Totally different. But, I think she has to stay, unfortunately. I don't feel good about saying that, but I think that she has to, because I'm thinking about those children.
So we agreed.
We agreed.
At the end. Uh-oh. So
we didn't establish. What does that mean? We didn't establish the rules.
Well, it's the people at home. So they were you right
establish
or wrong?
The rules.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let us know what you think, because this one was very difficult. It did make me think, but I think I think for the children's sake, she stays.
Katie reached down into her bag of tricks and threw us another curveball today, as she is so good at doing.
Yeah, I've went back and forth on this too, but I think,
she stays. Mm-hmm. You think so?
I don't see a reason to let her out. You know, I mean, yeah, she could go live with her sister, but she's this long. I mean,
she's already had 2 strokes, so she's a lot closer to the end than the beginning. Anyway.
Well, that's what she's quoted saying too. Right.
Oh, so there's just no winners, are there? Never. Mm-mm. In this.
We knew this job was dangerous when we took it.
We did. Okay, well, tell us what you think. Check out our social media, Instagram, Facebook. Go to our website, truecrimeoneasystreet.com.
You can learn some cool things about us. We've got little bios about each of the three of us that I wrote, but they're hilarious.
They are. So you did a great job on
those. Go check them out sometime. We have a good time.
I love our website.
I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I'll take it. Have we had anything else? Have we covered it again? We're already finished with another one of these?
That's it.
Good night, everybody.